And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's very good to be with you this Saturday morning. And it's looking much better outside than probably what you thought it was going to look like. Where do I start today? I've got like so many topics, so little time. We just have to pick one and go with it. All right, here's what I'm going to start off with right here. I came across this article where drug companies are just flabbergasted. They don't understand why they can't get people to take their drugs 100% of the time and why they're not consistent. It drives them crazy. Now, I would never say this is because they want to increase profits because, well, never mind. Let's not talk about that. Anyway, I was reading a survey. It said one particular survey, they asked patients how often they took their drugs consistently, and they said, hey, this is pretty good. They did it 90% of the time. But in reality, only 25% of the people actually took their drugs consistently. Now, I'm not here to start a discussion about whether drugs are valuable. Obviously, they are. But if you're prescribed a drug that's only covering up or masking symptoms, what value is that really? Unless you're getting to the root core of a problem, how are you actually improving anything? Well, I'll let you kind of answer that for yourself. So what they came up with is they wanted to come up with this electronic device that you swallow. And what it does is, oh, where did I read that? I don't have that article in front of me, but it's interesting. They want you to take this electronic device that you swallow. And when it determines basically that drug levels in your bloodstream are low, it sends a signal to an app on your phone saying, hey, it's time to take the drug again. I mean, I don't even want to comment on that. But the bottom line is, and this is kind of what I'm thinking of. For all we know, one of the main issues with people being consistent with taking medications and even nutritional supplements, there's a lot of people that have just completely had their lives turned upside down by taking prescription drugs, and they've had permanent damage, and so now they're looking for a different solution. Well, what are you supposed to do? If you take everything that's prescribed to you, but it doesn't work out, and you're not in a better place than what you were, it's like I talked to the woman yesterday, and she was saying 50 different drugs her mother was on. 50. 50. Are you kidding me? How could any human being survive 50 different prescription drugs? That's just impossible. Well, sometimes people just forget to take medications, whether it's a natural remedy or if it's a drug. Well, anyway, let me read this to you right here. A report published in Managed Healthcare Executive magazine says, lo and behold, that forgetfulness is one of the most frequent reasons for failure to properly take drugs. Paradoxically, unwary doctors, they might actually prescribe drugs that impair memory and then prescribe more drugs to remedy that problem that also impair memory. This is the first one I came up with. You know, one of the most common diseases that people face today is diabetes. Well, the most common one is adult onset or type 2 diabetes. So what do? Bam! They prescribe a drug called metformin. Well, I don't know if they told you this or not, but metformin is extremely famous for causing a vitamin B12 deficiency. And you're thinking, B12, I think I've heard of that before, but I forgot what it's for. Well, what happens is when you're low a deficiency in B12 or you're low in B12, this has been shown to induce short-term memory loss. Now, if all you do, if you're on the outside looking in and you have a loved one, let's just say your husband, and he develops type 2 diabetes, and the doctor says, let's give him metformin. What do you do if you start to observe and notice that he's walking from the living room to the kitchen, and you say, sweetheart, why are you here? And he goes, well, I don't remember. I had a reason for coming here. Well, that's one of the side effects of taking metformin. It causes a pretty severe B12 deficiency, and you've got to have B12 to have an incredible memory or to even a normal memory. So, what do? Do you say, well, just maybe that drug has caused a B12 deficiency, therefore we need to make a correction there? Or do you say, oh my goodness, there's a new drug on the market called Namenda. It's prescribed for people that have cognitive decline and they have memory loss and they have Alzheimer's. Let's go ahead and give that. Well, the problem is, if you give a drug for the purpose of trying to correct a side effect from another drug, is that really getting to the root cause of the problem? Well, I don't think so. I went through a list of drugs. I'm not even going to tell you all of them, but I just looked up the simple ones that are famous for causing memory loss. Have you ever heard of a drug called Tagamet? Another one called Pepcid? There's one called Axid or Zantac? You betcha. All of those are over the counter at the store. You don't even need a prescription any longer, but those are all acid-blocking drugs. Well, guess what? They are world-famous for causing memory loss. And so you have an option here. If you are suffering with an inability to remember, then maybe it's one of the drugs you're taking. What's another drug that causes memory loss? Have you ever heard of a drug called Soma or Celexa? There's an antidepressant called Elavil. Oh boy, Elavil is very famous for causing memory loss. There's one called Celebrex. What? Now, there's one called Keflex and Amoxicillin. I think everybody's heard of Amoxicillin. If somebody has like an infection in their tooth, the doctor will give Amoxicillin. If a child has a strep throat or they have tonsils or swollen, the doctor will give Amoxicillin. Sometimes I've seen it for certain upper respiratory tract infections. Anybody ever taken Valium before? Well, all those drugs, they cause memory loss. Now, one of the aspects of this that I think is extremely intriguing is if we break down the basic equation, what does a human body need? Basically, your cells and organs and glands and tissues, they will do anything that's in your best interest if you give them what they want and what they need. And I realize this is a tremendous oversimplification, but how do the cells in your body respond if you don't give them water? Well, they don't do so well. I mean, surely you have heard a story of someone that has walked off into the desert and they found them several days later, they died or they succumbed to severe dehydration. Well, if you don't have water, if you're losing water at a faster rate than what you can replace it, then you're going to have dehydration. Well, every chemical reaction that takes place within your body takes place within the medium of water. You've got to have it. There's just no way around it. Number two, what would happen if you did not give oxygen to the body? Well, good luck living with that one, because it ain't going to happen. I guess you could put your own hands around your throat and squeeze and see how long you live. I'm just joking. Don't do that. But if you cut off the blood or the oxygen supply to your brain, it does not take long till you black out. You just lose it. Well, I guess the point I'm getting to is, if we were to cull it down to what is the basic equation, it's this. In order to heal the body, to maintain the body, to be in radiant health, you've got to have energy. There's no way around that. Energy is the key. If you ask your brain to grow 200 million new baby brain cells or neurons today, it says, deal, I'll be glad to do it. Well, what do you need to do that? I want energy. Pay me energy. Now, obviously, you've got to have water and oxygen. You've got to have protein, fat, carbohydrates, micronutrients, vitamins, fat-soluble, water-soluble, minerals, trace minerals. Yeah, we all understand that. I mean, isn't that the role where nutrition comes in? You've got to give the body the very thing it needs to build a new brain cell, but your body requires energy. Now, I do not know if you've heard this term before. Probably have, but just in case you haven't, inside of every cell in your body, you have literally thousands of small factories that generate energy for you. That's God's design. They're called mitochondria. So if you've never heard the term mitochondria before, you may want to look that up. But in order for you to have radiant health, oh yeah, baby, you've got to have mitochondria. And what do mitochondria need? They need the conditions to be right to produce energy. So whatever health condition you're dealing with, you've got to have energy. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of the name of Dr. Gerald Pollack, but he's got a book called The Fourth Phase of Water. To me, it's a very interesting book. And I'll just kind of simplify it. You know that for the most part, if you drive across the bridge on Highway 155, you're going to look out and see Lake Palestine and say, hey, that's the liquid form of water. But then again, if you take a tea kettle and you bring it to a boil and steam comes out, well, you know, all right, well, it's gone from the liquid state to the gaseous state. Perfect. Well, you understand that. But if you put the same water in an ice tray in the freezer, guess what? It goes from liquid to a solid state. That's where you could literally walk on water. It's called ice. Maybe you shouldn't try that today. But there's a different phase of water that probably you haven't heard of. Maybe you have. It's called easy water. Is that a new term for you? Easy water? It's really called exclusion zone water. And basically, instead of it being like a liquid or being a gas like in the form of steam or vapor or being solid in the form of ice, it's where water resembles a gel. Of course, you know what I'm thinking of in my mind. I'm thinking of a gelatinous substance like Jell-O or like slime or something. I know it's not exactly that. But the easy water or the exclusion zone water, this is the type of water that's in your cells. And that's exactly the type of water that's in your mitochondria. Remember, this is where all energy production takes place. These are the power plants for all energy production within your body. And what I should say is, all your fortunes for your health are going to rise and fall based on how healthy your mitochondria are. So what's one of the things they need? They need easy water or exclusion zone water. I came across a brief paragraph here. It says, recently, scientists have discovered mysterious cell structures called microtubules that are required for you to build new mitochondria and then, in turn, to move them around in your neurons. That would be your brain or your nervous system. And it turns out that easy water or exclusion zone water is essential to movement within the microtubules. And you're probably thinking, well, what can I do to get some more easy water? Well, it's easy. You get easy water or exclusion zone water when you just naturally drink raw vegetable juice. So if you have access to a juice or a blender, if you run celery, one carrot, the lemon minus the peel or the rind, then you're getting what's called exclusion zone water. The other way that you get this easy water is if you get fresh spring water. You know, SK, my mother's neighbor was telling me that his kids used to walk down to the spring with my mother, which is like, you know, half a mile down, a half a mile back, and they would just walk with her while she would go and get her 2 gallons of fresh spring water a day from the spring that flowed year-round. I told him, I said, I hadn't heard that story. I was glad he told me. But when you get fresh spring water from the earth, that has easy water. And that's what the microtubules in your mitochondria need for them to generate energy. I don't think you can do that with chlorinated, fluoridated tap water. It destroys all that. So if you have a juicer, run some vegetables through a juicer occasionally and drink that stuff. You're getting the easy water, and that's what you need for radiant health. It also, now this is what I haven't researched right here. Oh, another source of it. If you get water that's melted from a glacier, but there's no glaciers here in East Texas. But if I live near a glacier, oh yeah, I would do that totally. Of course, I have seen in the store, they do sell water from melted glacier water. You know, from ice to water. Anyway, it says when water is vibrated or blended, and I thought to myself, well, there you go. You can make a smoothie, put it in your Vitamixer, crank that baby up all the way to the number 10. You'll get the easy water. But Dr. Pollack, this is what I thought was interesting right here, because this is another cheap way of doing it. Dr. Pollack says you make this gelatinous form of water that's very good for your mitochondria when you blend butterfat into water. Well, I thought, well, I wonder how he discovered that. Well, still, it's very interesting, because if you had pasture-raised cows, and you got their butter or butterfat, what if you had a habit for the next 2 weeks of just melting a pat of butter in your morning coffee or water? Well, you also, it says easy water also forms in your cells when you expose your skin and your eyes to unfiltered sunlight for a few minutes every day without sunglasses or clothing that might be blocking it or sunscreen. I know that's a radical idea, but I talk to so many people, they're just indoors all day long. They never get out in the sunlight, and I think they're just absolutely terrified. They've been told that's what causes cancer. So they cover every square inch of their body, and nothing comes in contact with the sun. So this would be an indication for no sunglasses, no sunscreen, clothing. Well, you know, use good judgment there. But I thought that was very interesting about the easy water, because ultimately, whatever you're dealing with, if you want to see improvement, then you're going to need your mitochondria to generate energy so you can accomplish healing, or so that can take place. Now, in light of that, I think this came from Scott Franklin of Life Extension Magazine. I want to give him credit. He goes on to write that mitochondria are seen to be the physical powerhouses of our cells. Again, what I told you a while ago, that's where all energy production takes place. Any condition you're dealing with, whether it's fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, Epstein-Barr, Lyme's disease, thyroid problems, just anything, heart disease, anyone that you could mention, you do not have enough mitochondria working for you. So these mitochondria release enormous amounts of energy needed to power the human body, but as we age, the mitochondria can become damaged, as characterized by a small hole that opens in the mitochondrial membrane. This hole leads to a dramatic decrease in the body's energy production and increase in oxidative stress on cells, which in turn leads to age-related diseases such as coronary artery disease and neurodegeneration. That's just a fancy term for memory loss, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and dementia. It also leads to diabetes and obesity. It's exactly what you do not want. There's a new study that shows that, and get this, this is cheap and easy. A substance your body produces anyway, it's called melatonin. It says a new study shows that melatonin can prevent or dramatically reduce the holes that develop in the mitochondrial membranes, and they can restore mitochondria's normal function, which helps to maintain healthy tissues and organs. Would you like to resist disease? All right. Would you like to slow down the aging process? All right, we're in business. Enter melatonin. But isn't that interesting that holes that develop within the mitochondria can be corrected just with melatonin? Melatonin supplementation can prevent age-related mitochondrial dysfunction in brain cells. It can also prevent the death of skeletal muscle cells and protect heart muscle cells during and after a heart attack. It's also been shown to alleviate fatty liver disease. Is a fatty liver common in the year 2019? Oh, yes. Totally common. It can improve the function of smooth muscles in the intestines, which tend to decline over time. And that's where a person would say, I didn't have any trouble with constipation or diarrhea when I was younger, but now that I'm older, oh boy, Katie, bar the door. Since most of our cells contain mitochondria, choosing supplements to support the body's ability to produce melatonin can help preserve its youthful function. Well, I can tell you one thing that helps the body produce melatonin. Just being outdoors. You always have much better melatonin production when you're outdoors. So just consider, if you're indoors all day long, maybe you could make an effort to take it outside today. Who knows? There might be something you can find to do out there. Like, I don't want to tell anybody where my secret stash of dandelions are, because I just found them the other day. If I tell you, then you'll go and pick them, and I won't get them. so I'm going to be selfish and keep them for myself. Ha ha. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. I'll get you right in. If nobody wants to call, I want to read this to you right here. I was speaking on the last topic because literally I have searched high and low for dandelions and I just now found a patch. I don't want to tell you it's over in Frankston. Oh, rats, I just told you. Yeah, but you don't know where, do you? I drove by him the other day and I said, oh my goodness, there you go. That's what I've been looking for. What's the giveaway? Well, that yellow flower is the giveaway. There's really not that many right now, but come, you know, but you're going to find a few very, very strong specimens that'll pop up here and there between now and, say, March. But once March gets here, you'll see them everywhere. That's where you get those seed pods that, you know, kids pick and they blow. Always think that's pretty cute. All kids just naturally know how to do that. I say do more of it. Spread those seeds. We need the dandelion. It can be a lifesaver. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. How's everything going?
Man, we're having entirely too much fun on a Saturday morning.
We are? Good.
Hey, Dr. Morgan, it's been a while since we talked. I just wanted to call and wish you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, that's so nice of you. I wish you a Merry Christmas, and I pray that God looks upon you and yours with favor.
Well, I do know that my family, we miss coming to visit you. This is Mike over in Palestine.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for calling, Mike.
You stay blessed, and we'll catch up with you in the new
year.
Oh,
thanks a whole bunch. I appreciate you. Have a good day, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
By the way, Mike, that's where I found the dandelions, over there in Anderson County where you live. All right, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am very well. I am calling about my sister and how she might... Let me turn this radio off.
Oh, thank you very much.
How she might build up her immune system. She has numerous sinus infections, and right now she has the flu.
Oh, bless her heart. Well, let's tackle this piece by piece.
Okay.
I know I'm going to make it sound very simple, but I'm going to say that the mineral zinc is a cornerstone of the immune system.
Okay.
And so I think I said about 2 weeks ago that if a human being is really low in zinc, they either crave sweets or they crave salty stuff.
Okay.
And so that might be one clue. But your body requires zinc to have a lifelong good immunity. And I would say as people age, probably their zinc levels, they probably decline just a little bit, a lifetime of chronic low-grade infections and such. So if she were to start supplementing with zinc, I would take that with food to make sure it was pretty easy on her stomach.
Okay.
But I think that would be a move in the right direction. Now, the largest gland of the immune system is called the thymus gland. I don't know if you've ever heard of the thymus before.
Yes.
But it's like a long, slender, double-lobe gland that's just under the breastbone. It just follows it. A lot of times if somebody has like an open-heart surgery and they split the ribs open, they go, well, what is that doing in our way? We'll just cut it out.
Oh,
they
no.
Just toss it. Yeah, I know. Oh, no, it's right, because these people catch everything that comes along. So one of the cells that's produced by the thymus gland is called a natural killer cell.
Uh-huh.
They don't have to be trained to do anything. They just naturally go, oh, my goodness, there's influenza. We're going to gobble you up and eat you and get rid of you right now.
Okay.
But the thymus gland requires a certain amount of zinc for it to function properly. So there's a lot of folks, their thymus gland just literally shrivels, becomes small, or it atrophies because they're just not giving enough either vitamin C or zinc. And so if I told you what my favorite is, if I had to choose just one way that's been done for hundreds of years, it's using either a lemon or a lime in water or herbal tea to try to increase the vitamin C, in addition to taking vitamin C in the form of a supplement.
Okay, several times a day, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're in dire straits, you have got nothing to lose. And plus, Can you imagine all the types of dishwashing liquid and laundry soap and detergent that have been made with, you know, lemon?
Yes.
It's just incredible.
Love the smell.
Well, it's my favorite. If you told me you could have lemon or lavender, I'm taking lemon every single time.
Exactly.
I just love the stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the other day, I came across this article in a food magazine that came to my office. And it was just looking at why do Hispanic populations use so much lemon or lime on their food. And they showed that if you get like a street taco from a vendor, mm-hmm. if you squeeze fresh lime juice on it, it really knocks down the E. coli and the salmonella and the shigella and all the different things that could cause a foodborne, you know, illness or infection, like
yeah.
projectile vomiting or diarrhea.
Oh,
but they're showing that just even, well, I was sort of trying to be funny by saying that, but the idea of putting lime juice on food, it really knocks down the potential for infection.
Okay.
Now, the other thing, when I was in college and we took microbiology, we used two things without fail every class when we were in the lab. We use bleach and we use Lysol to try to prevent contamination or the spread of infection. Those things don't work anymore. All the germs and bugs have figured out how to get around bleach and Lysol. But there is one thing that does work. It's going to be hard for them to get around. It's called white distilled vinegar.
Oh.
And so when a person is chronically sick, what I would do is I would take their... I know this is a lot of work, but it really can be a game changer for her.
Okay.
Because during the night, she's probably going to sneeze or she's going to cough and she's going to spread those germs all over her pillow and bedding and she's going to reseed the stuff all over again. But if she has a chronic infection that won't go away, I don't see any problem in taking all her bedding and every day for about a week just washing it in hot water with 2 cups of white distilled vinegar. You could even put a cup of baking soda in there for good measure and the juice of 4 or 5 lemons if you wanted to.
Okay.
That might be too much work. But if you wash it in hot water, you're trying to break that cycle of continually reseeding the germs over and over again.
That sounds reasonable.
I mean, you know what the number one place is to get sick and never get over it? Just go to the hospital.
Yes.
Besides the ER or the surgical suite, the most common location is going to be any hospital bathroom you go to. When they've been tested, they have so many bugs and germs that are antibiotic resistant, you just don't need to go there.
Yeah.
Or if you do, if you have to go visit somebody, you need to wear one of those chemical hazmat suits. And
hope you survive.
And hope you survive. And so we've got zinc, we've got vitamin C. The other thing that I would strongly consider, between the thymus and the spleen, they play a huge, huge role in helping the body generate antibodies. And so let me say this a different way. I read a study back from the 1950s, and I want to say it was either 52, 53, or 54, but they asked the question, what is the average length of duration of the common cold? And back then, it was 2.5 to 3 days. Now, it is not uncommon for me to talk to somebody on the phone that's had a cold for 3 weeks. And so that's not good. So my point is, that's one of the easiest ways to tell if your thymus gland is very weak and it's underproducing antibodies. If you have any sickness or illness or infection that lasts over 7 days,
mm-hmm.
then you start thinking, okay, this is a surefire indication that my thymus gland is not doing its job, because that's one of the things your thymus does or hers does. It generates antibody production, which antibodies, they help your immune system recognize that she's got influenza and we need to attack it, beat it up, eat it, and get rid of it so we can be free from infection. So one thing that I like very, very much is just taking what's called calf thymus extract.
Okay.
And so I know this sounds gross, but when they take a calf to the processing place, if you'll let me call it that, they will harvest the thymus and they'll put it in like in a food dehydrator at about 85 to 90 degrees, get the water out of it, and they'll just grind it up and put it in capsule or tablet form. But if you take the thymus gland from a calf, it will be like a shot in the arm to her thymus gland so it can rise to the occasion and do a better job of helping to take care of this. Now, if she suffered with a low immune system for a long period of time...
Yes, she has.
Well, what I would do, there's several more things that I would look at, and I'm just going to give you a few ideas. Nothing's written in stone here. But any time that you have a viral infection, it's going to be really, really hard to beat a plant called elderberry. Have you ever heard of elderberries?
Yes.
And plus, they taste so good. They almost taste too good. But I've seen so many people that when they just couldn't get well, elderberry was just the shot in the arm that they needed to give their immune system a fighting chance.
Okay.
So that one's going to be really, really hard to beat.
Yeah, I heard you talk about elderberry with the flu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's dealing with that right now, isn't she?
Yes, and she was throwing up with this, too. So.
Oh, bless her heart. Yeah. Talk about making matters worse.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing that could easily be done if... Well, listen to me talk about how easy it is. It's kind of tough, but it works like a champ. I always think that if you can't get a person well, there's two or three things you should do. And if she had access to a juicer, or should I say a sweet, adorable younger sister that loved her very much that had a juicer.
Uh-huh.
So what you do is you just go to the store and you buy a fresh ginger root. And you buy some lemons. In her case, I'd probably add, you know, a green apple and maybe a couple of carrots just to make it taste a little bit more tolerable.
Okay.
But if you would run two carrots through the juicer, one green apple, of course, you kind of core the seeds out of them, the stem, mm-hmm. but the rest of it you can just run through and get the... And of course, that's what I talked about earlier in the program is where do you get this exclusion zone water? Well, when you juice things... That's the very thing she needs for her body to produce energy so it can rise to the occasion and overcome all this stuff she's dealing with.
Okay.
But the ginger root, I don't think I have to explain to you that ginger has a pretty potent bite to it. It's got a kick.
Yeah. Does she use a whole root when she's doing that?
That's going to be pretty tough. But let me tell you the main reason I use the ginger when somebody's got infections and they don't go away. It is one of the hands-down best remedies for promoting drainage.
Okay.
That means when you can't get rid of bugs or germs, add ginger. She's probably going to have to use like maybe 1/4 to maybe 1/3 of the root.
Okay.
I really don't care if there's dirt on it. Just knock it off with a toothbrush or something.
We used to eat it when we were younger.
Oh, you remember, do you?
Yes.
But then if you take a, I like those paring knives that look like a hawk's bill. That means uh-huh. they're kind of curved. But if you take a fresh lemon after it's been washed and cleaned and just remove the outer part of the rind, but you leave as much of that white spongy pith as you can. But if you can just run that lemon along with the two carrots and the green apple and the ginger, you're going to have a very, very potent remedy to bolster the immune system and to promote drainage.
Very good.
That means it's going to start pushing all the toxic debris out of her. Now, she may urinate more than normal. That's not a bad thing, especially
yeah.
if she interprets, oh, I'm cleaning some of the toxic filth out. It's leaving my body.
Mm-hmm.
But if she did that a couple times a day, she would be in a much, much better place. Now, in my fantasy world, with lung issues, oh, if I could get her into a sauna,
mm-hmm.
I would be like Hansel and Gretel.
Okay.
I would say, look over here, there's an oven. Could you step inside of it to make sure that we can fit? And then close the door behind her. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a sauna. I'm joking.
Well, I could do that on the stove, inhale some steam. Would that help?
Well, when it comes to lungs, you betcha. That's brilliant. I love your plan. See, there's a common spice that you could buy easily at any store. It's called thyme or thyme.
What?
Thyme.
Oh, thyme.
Or thyme.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just trying to pronounce it several different ways in case I'm doing it wrong. But I've even seen the fresh and the dried work like a champ. Just put a spoonful in a boiling pan of water and a towel over her head. I mean, if she can muster enough strength to stand over a tea kettle where it's like kind of blasting a column of steam with infused thyme in it.
Mm-hmm.
If she can just breathe that deeply into her lungs, she's going to need to inhale for about a 4 count where she starts breathing that steam through her nose. She's got to be like a good 18, 20 inches away.
Uh-huh.
I'm not trying to burn or singe her nostrils, But if she can breathe that in deeply over a four count, that's like you start inhaling 1,000, one, two, three, four. You've got to get it into those lower oxygen-rich blood vessels of the lungs. But that steam will start to break up all that hardened, gunky mucus that's like caulking in there.
Ooh, yeah.
And so she'll probably cough a lot of that stuff up, but that's good. That's what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to tell her, whatever comes up, she cannot swallow that stuff back down.
Okay.
We don't need to start over again with a new infection.
Yeah.
So if she could, I love your plan. Steam, kettle, breathing that medicinal vapor in. That's great.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it so
much. You're welcome.
And you have a nice Christmas.
Oh, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you and God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, there's a phone line once again open, area code 903-586-5257. Please don't underestimate how powerful steam is. If you can breathe it in, it really can do wonders. It helps break up some of that hardened, thick, gunky mucus. You know, you can bet your bottom dollar if somebody has an upper respiratory tract infection or they have a lung infection, they've got some pretty thick, gunky mucus in there that's hardened and dried out. And the steam is one of the rare things that breaks that stuff down. Yes, you could take Mucinex, you could take all sorts of things, but there's not many things like inhaling and breathing steam. Of course, in my fantasy world, there's a steam sauna on every corner where you could go sit in for 30 minutes and just clean all that stuff out while you're breathing. Of course, they're hot. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have two questions I'd like to ask that you have addressed on previous morning programs.
Yes, ma'am.
The reason why you suggest drinking every morning the juice of a lemon is one question. And then you talked about one day on sleeping on your side to be sure that you're sleeping on the right side. Could you explain why for those two questions?
Sure. Do you want to hang on or hang up?
I'm hanging up.
Okay.
I'm going to listen to you.
Okay. I've got them written down. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Number one. Almost every issue that a human being faces that's very uncomfortable or unpleasant, you could tell me it's pain, you could tell me it's infections, you could say heart disease, diabetes, anything you could think of that you don't want to have, anything other than radiant health, those are almost always based in acidic reactions. The body becomes overly acidic. And this is a little bit difficult to understand, so you'll just have to kind of take my word for it or trust me on it. I mean, please study, become curious, look up everything for yourself. On paper, lemons contain citric acid, so you can say, hey, that is an acidic fruit right there. But as it enters the body, it turns to alkaline ash, which means it's slightly alkaline. So, one thing that happens when you squeeze the juice of a fresh lemon into a glass of water or herbal tea, what you're doing is you're gently alkalizing your body. That makes your blood very happy. The other thing that you're doing is you're providing what are called negative ions. And this is only one example, but when a thunderstorm generates electrical activity and the air smells super clean after a rain, well, those usually is because negative ions are very good at discharging toxins and pollution that's in the atmosphere. So lo and behold, lemons have been tested to have the absolute highest amount of what are called negative ions. And so if you want your body to become clean on the inside, and by the way, this is the only body that you're ever going to get. So if you have the habit of taking lemon juice or lime juice, you are adding negative ions. I'd say the vast majority of all heart attacks are due to electrical storms, the vast majority. And so those can be definitely worsened because of deficiency of potassium and magnesium. Well, guess what lemons have a generous amount of? They've got that electrically charged mineral or metal called potassium. You always want to remember, the highest occurrence of strokes anywhere in the world are where people have the lowest intake of potassium. It's cause and effect. And so, adding lemon juice or lime juice to your morning water or herbal tea, bam, you've got some potassium. The other reason that I like it is because of all these special compounds in these organic oils like limonene. They help your body detoxify. I mean, everybody just naturally knows that if they want to really clean something well, they might use dishwashing liquid that has lemon in it to get the plates extra clean. Plus, the stuff is just so awesome. So those are maybe a few of the reasons, but I would say for the person that is interested in cleansing their body, lemon juice is going to be a very good thing to do. It also acts as like one of the greatest solvents of all time, meaning it helps dissolve debris that sometimes forms a crystalline. Well, I'm getting off on a tangent here, but you've heard of somebody that has horrible arthritis or gout. Well, lemon juice helps to dissolve and break down the crystals. Or if somebody had kidney stones or gallstones, lemon juice has been like a godsend on helping to correct that issue. So those are a few things right there. Number next. When wildlife researchers are in places like Tanzania or, I started to say Mount Kilimanjaro. I'm not sure why. I couldn't tell you what country that's in. I just know it's in Africa. But when they study chimpanzees, they make an observation. I'm not saying that we're identical chimpanzees. I didn't say that. Although I have seen a few people lately that I thought could be related. Never mind. I'm going down the wrong road now. But when they bed down at night, they are very careful to make a very comfortable nest or a bedding area up in the trees where they can lay on their side. They don't lay on their back, and they don't lay on their stomach. I find that very interesting that chimpanzees, when they sleep on their sides. And when gorillas make their beds, which they're known to do that, they sleep on their sides. Thus enters the idea, you've heard of a system in the body called your lymphatic system. Oh, it's vast, all right. But your lymphatic system is like the dishwashing liquid or the detergent that washes and scrubs every cell clean in your body. It's exactly what you need if you're going to have radiant health. But in the brain, there is a system that's been discovered that they've named appropriately the glymphatic system. Glymphatic. And so the glymphatic system is like a way to, well, you know, during the day, you're at work or you're up busy doing things, but when you use your brain through the day, hopefully you do, you are metabolizing oxygen and fuel, which means your brain cells are going to give off waste or debris. And so one of the purposes of sleep at night is to scrub your brain clean of all the debris that it may have built up during the daytime. So enters the glymphatic system. When you sleep on your back, that fluid wave just doesn't scrub the brain really, really well. So people that traditionally sleep on their back at night, this system seems to be hamstrung, and so they tend to have the most sleep apnea. They tend to have the lowest oxygen saturation. They tend to have the most vascular diseases. They absolutely have the most heart attacks and cardiovascular disease, the most diabetes, but probably the one that's, well, am I entitled to say which one I think is more disturbing? Alzheimer's and dementia, or some type of neurological degeneration. That does not sound like fun for anybody. They tend to have all that because your glymphatic system cannot adequately wash your body clean, your brain clean, when you sleep exclusively on your back. I'm not criticizing a person that in the middle of the night they end up on their back and they wake up and they turn to their side. But when you lay on your side, and there's a lot of debate on which side's the best, but I'm really okay with a person that alternates back and forth from right to left. Maybe the right side is the best, according to studies. But when you lay on your side, the glymphatic system does a much better job of cleaning and scrubbing the brain cells and all the gunk that builds up during the day. And that's what you want. So I hope that makes sense. So just those two things right there. Of course, sleeping on your side is free. That doesn't cost anything, does it? You don't have to take a pill to do that. But what you're really after is if you can train your body to sleep on your side, and if you can sleep breathing exclusively through your nose, not your mouth, this is where the body starts generating more nitric oxide, which means it increases blood flow and oxygenation to all the tissues. That's exactly what you want to accomplish. You don't want a mouth breathe at night where you snore and you wake up with your mouth totally dry. You know what I mean. Hope that answers the questions. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. They even make this paper tape that's very, very easy on your lips or your mouth. I've seen it for sale on Amazon. But you just gently press your lips together and you cover them with tape. You are trying to train your body to breathe exclusively through your nose. That's exactly what you want. Would you believe me if I told you? I'm going back two callers, or at least that's my reference point. If you want to dry out your lungs and dry out the mucous membranes where there's just thick snot-like gunk, then breathe through your mouth at night. That is the recipe for causing one respiratory infection after the other. Breathing through your nose, that's how you make them more moist. Okay, I had to push the button three times. Sorry about that. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. My question to you, doctor, would be I have neuropathy in my feet, and what can I do to help that?
Are you taking a statin drug that would cause it?
Taking a what?
Are you taking a drug that might be causing the neuropathy?
I have diabetes.
Okay, well, that's the cause of it. So let me have a go at this. You have specific muscles called fast twitch muscle fibers. Do you remember when you were 17 how fast you could run and how fast you could move?
Oh, yeah.
Can you do the same thing now that you could do then?
If I fall out of a plane.
If you fall out of a plane. Is that with or without a parachute?
No, I can't do that.
I know, I'm only joking, but that was a funny answer. I totally didn't see that coming. So, when a person takes their shoes and their socks off, and I realize this topic is not going to sound really, really appealing, If you can just through faith tell yourself, if I can take my shoes and socks off and walk on pine needles or dirt or grass, I didn't say walk on hickory nuts or pine stobs, I don't want you to kill your foot. What you're doing is you're telling your body, we need to grow more blood vessels and more nerves.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm thinking of Katie, what's her last name? I can't remember last name. Sorry about that. But she's written, and she keeps referencing the studies where when they look at people that walk barefoot on the dirt or on the earth,
yeah,
they have twice as many blood vessels and twice as many veins and twice as many nerves as those that wear shoes exclusively. So I can almost imagine all the podiatrists and the doctors are cringing, saying, no, you can't do that. He's got diabetes. I promise you, you can. If you're smart about this, but if you could step forward on faith and start doing this, what you will do is you'll start stimulating the growth of new blood vessels. Now, I asked a woman the other day, I said, so tell me about your neuropathy. She said, it's gone. And I quickly thought to myself, you know, one of the nutrients that I find that's very, very deficient when somebody has neuropathy is vitamin K2. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
K2 sometimes is called minoquinone. Vitamin A is a fat-soluble vitamin. Vitamin E is fat-soluble. Vitamin D is fat-soluble. And vitamin K2, that is also fat-soluble. But without K2, those nerves tend to build up. They're called AGEs. That's just short for, or an acronym for, advanced glycation end products. That means protein sticks to the nerves and the nerves don't fire properly anymore.
Okay.
And so if you could walk barefoot, that would start the process of correcting it. If you started doing some fast twitch exercises on your legs, that would make that go away. And so one of them is just jumping rope. Of course, that may sound brutally painful.
Well, I'm 77. I don't know if I can do that.
Well, in your voice, I can hear that you can do it. You sound really young. You don't sound like you're 77. I like it.
Well, I can try it.
Well, the other thing you have is you have those small rebounders that cost $37. It's like a mini trampoline.
Yeah.
You could just gently kind of bounce up and down that. That wouldn't be all the shock and the wear and tear on your joints. But anything that causes your feet and your legs to become and ankles to become stronger, you're going to have a lot more blood flow. That's where body weight squats and lunges. They have a type of a semi-lunge where you stand on one leg and you when you come back up, you push up and you give just a little hop. But you're trying to fire those fast twitch muscle fibers. And that seems to be the biggest problem as people age. They don't do anything that's fast for those fast twitch muscle fibers, and so they lose a lot of their nerves. They just do.
Uh-huh.
Or when you go to church tomorrow morning, you could actually walk down the middle aisle hopping and skipping and jumping like a little girl. What would be wrong with that? Nobody would even notice, would they?
No, not at our
church. I need you to trust me on this. As your personal physician, I want you to start hopping and skipping down to the front row.
Okay. I'll tell them that.
Just give me some feedback and let me know how that went over.
All right. Well, I'll try and get some of that K2.
Yeah, get some
K2. And I'll do some jumping and walking on the dirt.
You know what? You know one thing that I read about 2 or 3 months ago. They were saying that back during the time of World War I, when a soldier was severely injured and he was bedfast, meaning he couldn't get up and walk, so they had to do everything for him, like change, bathroom breaks and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But they would develop these horrible ulcers on their backside or their legs.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, you've probably seen stuff like that, haven't you?
I've heard about them.
Well, have you ever been to visit somebody in the nursing home and they might have like an ulceration because it's a combination of just poor blood flow and they just don't get up and move, so oxygen becomes stagnant? Well, if you start to get red on your backside, you're going, man, this is tender, it hurts. They actually used to take lemons and rub fresh lemon juice to heal those pre-ulcers from forming. And I thought to myself, wow, what would happen? And I've had patients before where I just used lemon oil on the bottom of their feet where they had horrible pain. I don't mean just one drop of lemon oil one time. I mean, you do it every single day for like 3 months, but we want to make sure this neuropathy goes away.
Oh, okay.
I mean, doesn't that kind of drive you crazy? What is the dominant symptom that you have that's uncomfortable? Is it burning or pain or what?
No, it's just a kind of stiffness.
Did you say stiffness?
Yeah.
Then I can guarantee you K2 is your remedy. Because K2, if you take it faithfully over time, a therapeutic dose, I think you'll tell me a lot of the stiffness goes away and you'll be very, very impressed.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And the skipping down the aisle, that is also the top of remedy that I can think of.
Okay.
I wish you the best, buddy. Thanks for your call today.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks.
You're sure welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I can't believe I just tricked him into skipping down the aisle at church, but I think I successfully did that. Anyway, the phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. There's a phone line once again open. See, this is the basic equation. Either tissues break down faster than you can repair, and when that happens, you've got symptoms like stiffness or pain. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Okay, we have a friend that he has a pancreatitis, and he'd been in the hospital for like about 4 months, and he had a whole bunch of cysts that were filled with poison. They were trying to drain them out, etc.
Oh, bless his heart. Goodness.
Yeah, and they put him on antibiotics, for I don't know how long, just maybe months or whatever, but this has been since August, and he's still having trouble. They still put tubes in. They're having tubes in there trying to drain those cysts, and it got so big and heavy, couldn't even breathe. And
oh goodness,
anyway,
that's horrible.
Yeah. So I'm just wanting to. Would you think that the same process you were talking about, getting rid of the poisons that you just mentioned a little while ago, and anything else you might have to add.
Well, I mean, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind, I've seen a whole bunch of cases of very severe pancreatitis, and I would say that when I examine them, a common theme is they can't tolerate wheat, and so that's crackers and noodles and bread and pasta.
Okay.
Did I mention flour yet? But I just find it's just incompatible. And, you know, a cyst is going to form in the body's best attempts to kind of contain or wall off some type of poison. So lemon juice or lime juice is so hard to beat. Dandelion tea, in my mind, that and rose hips tea, I would drink that all day long just to see if we can't clear that stuff up. With severe pancreatitis, I wonder if I could talk him in just eating just one meal a day, just one.
Okay.
For about 2 to 3 weeks. And that one meal would be a big honking salad that's fresh. If he says he wants chicken or fish, I'd say, okay, deal. But if we could get one big green salad made with fresh olive oil, and the rest of the day, I don't care if he has the juice of, you know, 3 lemons or 6 limes, and he has 4 cups of throat coat tea or 2 of dandelion. But something's got to give to where we can start to clean and repair all these cysts in the pancreas and just give the body a break.
Right, right. Now, the 2 meats you said was fish, and what was the other?
Well, fish is the easiest to digest, but eggs are really hard to beat. I didn't say eggs.
Uh-huh.
But
okay.
if you could let me just walk it backwards, I'd say, you know, if he tells me he loves, you know what a woman told me the other day? She says she hates the egg whites and just loves the yolks. I said, eat them. they're full of nutrients. They have choline. Mm-hmm. Actually, the nerve transmissions that come from the vagus nerve to the pancreas to tell it to heal, mm-hmm. that's based on a substance called acetylcholine. Mm-hmm. Guess where choline's found? It's found in egg yolks.
Okay.
Actually, I'm talking myself into giving him egg yolks right now, the more that I listen to my own voice. So if he had like a salad that was full of eggs, if he told me he wanted to, you know, have scrambled eggs with a salad, fine, mm-hmm. do it. But
okay, gotcha.
Fish is the easiest to digest in the body.
Okay, gotcha.
And plus, okay. you have a fishing pole and you're ready to go on the Florida Keys today and catch some fresh fish, right?
Right.
I knew it.
Okay. Okay, well, yeah, I think the family has that mindset, the other mindset, traditional, and just trying to see some of this stuff in.
You mean they're just going to do what the doctor says?
So far, it just seems that way.
Well, where's that led him, though? Has that led him to a healing?
I know, yeah.
It hasn't.
No. Mm-mm,
well,
no.
At some point, a person gets to the point where they say, I've had up to here, I got to do something different because I'm not getting any better by doing this.
That's right.
And that's not me trying to criticize anybody else. That's not what I'm saying here.
Right, yeah.
But God has designed the body to heal, but we have to help.
Right.
And some of
that
would be... So, I mean, what harm would come if we gave him one big green salad a day?
Right, right, yeah. You're right.
And then we could give him all the herbal tea he wants the rest of the day. And if he's starving, we'll take a pat of butter and put in the tea to kind of stave off the hunger pain so he can make it.
Right. Appreciate your knowledge and your help.
Oh, you're so welcome. I feel so bad for him. How old is he, by the way?
Oh, I know. 62, pretty young.
Well, do you ever think of 62 as being old? No.
No.
It's just
not
like you
all.
Said, he's young. He's a young
man.
Oh,
yeah. And he was robust before all this hit him. You know,
well, I want him to be restored to being robust again. Well,
right.
thank you so much. You're welcome.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler Longview.
Good morning.